Attention, attention, presenting His Eminence, our imperious leader.
Discussion. I'm Sean Amack, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just do not call me late for dinner. And do not call me a Stargate fan because it was canceled. No. And if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion time. Once again, live at LVRocks.com as well as S2DRadio.com. And that was the producer in charge at the controls, Mr. Con Solar. Thank you very much.
By your command. You're
welcome. And tonight, after the Political News Digest, we'll welcome Robert Rouse. He's the blogger behind the Left of Centrist blog. And talk about everything. He's a big sci-fi fan as well, so maybe we'll blend a little bit in of both of the hours in together with the politics and the sci-fi, maybe. And in the second hour, we'll welcome back Jamie, a.k.a. Scully Girl, for a discussion of the Stargate episodes and the latest news update, which isn't good for SG-1 fans, but I have a feeling that the show might just live on in this first-run syndication. That's always a possibility, because MGM was syndicating that long before sci-fi picked it up, so I think it might still live on. And I believe the studio said something, going to have an announcement by the end of the week, so something's cooking. And then ending the program will be Dr. Koenig Rules with our... Yes, he is indeed a doctor. He's a professor. He's the mad professor of Subject to Discussion. He'll be on to talk about the 4400 as well as some Battlestar Galactica news that he says will rock the world. So we'll look forward to talking to him about that. And before we get to the news digest, I'm going to go through what's in the USA Today. And, of course, they talk about the clown that came back from Thailand who was involved with the JonBenet Ramsey mess. And also on the right-hand side of the paper, the front page, they talk about the poll. The GOP is kind of inching its way up after terror arrests. The Democrats' advantage in fall vote narrows now, so I can't believe these people are not seeing through this administration's Smoke and Mirrors Act by now, but some people are still gullible, I guess, as long as you're Republican and a knee-jerk and spend all your time watching American Idol and the reality programs, what the hell, right? And what else? The poll found Americans pessimistic about the aftermath of the month-long war between Lebanon and Hezbollah. 9 in 10 predict that the ceasefire will be temporary and fighting will break out again soon. And 7 in 10 say the conflict hurt the image of the United States and the prospects for a long-term peace. And the two-thirds also say that the United States should play a minor role or no role at all in developing a peace agreement. Just 14% say the United States should take the lead. So that's a disaster over there. The presumption across the world is that the Israelis lost that war, and also so did the Bush administration's reputation and our standing in the world as a world leader has been lost as well. So we'll see what happens with that. And in the local paper, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, they talk about the judge, Hammers Herrera, who's a local county commissioner who got nailed on corruption charges, and they've thrown him in jail for 50 months, and he's going to some highfalutin camp, minimum security prison camp in Inglewood, Colorado, which means that he'll work off his tension playing foosball and also like ping pong and other hard labor sports to be playing with the prisoners. So, and also they talk about Bush defends his Iraq policy. He had a press conference, and he said Bush said the war is straining American psyche, but the job is necessary. And he says as long as he's president, the troops will stay in Iraq. And they had somebody get up and ask him a question about what connection did Iraq have with 9/11. And he said nobody has ever suggested that the attacks of 9/11 were ordered by Iraq. But then looking back on June 28th of 2005, talking about Americans being disturbed by the number of U.S. deaths in Iraq, Bush had said the war reached our shores on September 11, 2001. And then during that same speech on June 28th that was intended to shed light on the realities of the war in Iraq, Bush diverted from the facts and rehearsed 9/11, referenced 9/11, more like his rehearsed bits, you know what I mean, to wrap yourself in the flag, referenced 9/11 five different times in order to invoke feelings of patriotism. And during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Depressed, September 14, 2003, Dick Cheney described Iraq as the geographic base of the terrorists who have had us under assault for many years, but most especially on 9/11. Oh, no, they never mentioned anything about Iraq having anything to do with 9/11. How they can believe their own BS is beyond me. And also in his infamous Mission Accomplished speech, of course, that was on the USS Lincoln on May 1st, 2003, Bush said the Battle of Iraq is one victory in a war on terror that began on September 11th. And a letter to Congress dated March 18, 2003, outlining the legal justification for going to war with Iraq, Bush wrote, acting pursuant to the Constitution and the authorization for use of military force against Iraq, resolution of 2002, is consistent with the United States and other countries continuing to take necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on 9/11. So there you go right there. Iraq had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, but the throughout the six years he's been in office, all he's done is trying to weave Iraq into this the 9/11 disaster, and it's just BS. It's just his wanting to finish the job his father started, and also to retaliate for the death threat against his father. So that's what that all boils down to. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Why don't you just admit, you know, he's got no more credibility. Why don't you just admit he did it for the hell of it, you know? You know, why did you go to war with Iraq? Oh, for the hell of it, and also to plunder the nation's treasury. So anyway, with that, move on to the News Digest before we bring on Robert Rouse of the Left of Centrist blog. And today we had this interesting thing I didn't see anywhere: CIA secret UK bank trawl may be illegal. A covert program under which confidential information about British banking transactions is passed to the CIA with the full knowledge of the government may breach both British and European law, The Guardian has learned. The Information Commissioner, who is responsible for enforcing the Data Protection Act, is investigating the arrangement, which is seeing details of computerized transactions from around the world passed to the CIA in an attempt to spy on the financiers of jihadist terrorism. The U.S. government has acknowledged that the agency has been receiving international financial records from the Belgian-based cooperative, which processes money transfers on behalf of the world's banks. The spokesman for the Information Commissioner told The Guardian that the privacy issue has been taken extremely seriously. If the CIA had accessed financial data belonging to European individuals, then this was likely to be a breach of EU data protection legislation. And also adding that the UK data protection laws may also have been breached if British banking transaction had been handed over as well. So, wow, that's going to be a whopper if that comes to light, and it'll wallop them. But maybe they could time it like the week before the November elections. That'll really mop the floor with the GOP then. And then we had this from Stephen Colbert. He said, changing French fries to freedom fries was arguably the Republican Congress's greatest accomplishment. Absolutely. That's about all they got done in 6 years, you know. And New York Times today said the crisis of confidence on American-led effort to rebuild Afghanistan. Remember them? A crisis of confidence has emerged over the American-led effort to rebuild Afghanistan, according to an article to be published in Wednesday's edition of New York Times. After months of widespread frustration with corruption, the economy, and lack of justice and security, doubts about President Hamid Karzai, and by extension, the American-led effort to rebuild Afghanistan, have led to a crisis of confidence. Wow. Interviews with ordinary Afghans, as well as foreign diplomats and Afghan officials, made clear that the expanding Taliban insurgency in the south represents the most serious challenge to Karzai's presidency to date, the article goes. So that's amazing. You know, nobody's talking about it. It's all Iraq. You know, and Afghanistan was the country you're supposed to go after to get UBL. You know, 1,800 and so many days since he declared mission accomplished, and yet UBL's still on the loose. You know, I don't know. Maybe you should have an American Idol tryout over there in Afghanistan. Maybe they'll drag him out of his cave, huh? With his kidney dialysis machine. I don't understand. How the hell hard can it be to find him? You know what? If we can find this guy supposedly who killed JonBenet Ramsey in Thailand, how come we can't find UBL in a mountain in Pakistan with carrying around a kidney dialysis machine? I mean, he's 6'4" with a beard. You know, yet he always sends tapes into Americans' funniest phone videos, and he sends them into Al Jazeera. How come we can't find this guy? Unbelievable. Senator John McCain faults administration on Iraq. This is Tuesday from the Associated Press today. Republican Senator John McCain, a staunch defender of the Iraq war, on Tuesday faulted the Bush administration for misleading Americans into believing the conflict would come would be some kind of day at the beach. I think one of the biggest mistakes we made was underestimating the size of the task and the sacrifice that would be required, McCain said. Stuff happens, mission accomplished, last throws, a few dead enders. I'm just more familiar with those statements than anyone else because it gives me so much, it grieves me so much that we had not told the American people how tough and difficult this task would be. Those phrases are closely associated with the top members of the Bush administration, including the president as well. So that's always good. But then in McCain, when he's with Bush, he always, he's kissing his ass, but when he's, he's away from Bush, he's starting to slam him now. So he's playing both sides of the coin here now. And also from today from the blogs, a Brendan Nyhan, N-Y-H-A-N, correcting the wrong Bush misstatements. Today's New York Times does a wonderful job of summing up the priorities of our nation's press corps. He says, we get a 500-word article correcting a trivial misstatement by President Bush that he may be the first president to fail to carry the state in which he was born. He isn't. Meanwhile, during the same press conference, Bush was finally confronted by a reporter at yesterday's press conference for his latest attempt to link 9/11 and Iraq, a tactic he has used repeatedly over the last few years with little challenge from the press. Absolutely. It's about time this press, especially New York Times, gets up and then lets them have it, Let's see the Times rip Bush apart. I think he's been asking for it for 6 years. From David Letterman, he says, according to reports, Fidel Castro is alert and being briefed. And he's thinking, why didn't we get a president like that? So, David Letterman. And it's like he's got the smile. He's got the Condoleezza Rice smile, just like she's got the David Letterman smile. It's also from Monday. Four U.S. soldiers killed in clash with the Taliban. This is from the Associated Press. Nearly 90 people died in clashes in Afghanistan over the weekend, including more than 70 Taliban rebels killed in a battle in the south and four U.S. soldiers and a British troop. Most of the violence was in the south on Saturday, where a NATO-led force took command 3 weeks ago in the alliance's toughest military operation yet. Just wait until they get handed the Iraq mess. That'll be a nightmare for NATO. They're going to try and foist it onto NATO. Also, from Monday, Tony Blair thinks Bush has let him down. It's from the Daily Mail. The alliance between George Bush and Tony Blair is in danger after it was revealed that the British Prime Minister believes the president has let him down badly over the Mideast crisis. A senior Downing Street source said that privately, Mr. Blair broadly agrees with John Prescott, who said Mr. Bush's record on the issue was crap. That's good to see all the allies turning on Bush, Why rip Bush apart? He can't run again. He's got to be held accountable for this disaster he's brought. I like to call 911 report a crime. This country is like, we have a battered wife syndrome when it comes to this administration. I think we've been getting raped by him for 6+ years. Time to stand up. The victims, time to stand up and point to the guy in the lineup and say he's the one that's been raping our treasury. He's been all of our precious young soldiers have died at his hands. Not his hands, but blood on his hands. So I mean, it's ridiculous. So anyway, and from the blogosphere on Sunday, from Digby, we already know the Republicans are running on 9/11. They are undoubtedly gearing up for a 5-year anniversary commemoration in which the subtext, as always, will be the portrayal of Republicans as being strong enough and tough enough to keep the country safe compared to the vacuous and naive Democratic ninnies. The Republicans are counting on the 5th anniversary to remind people of Bush's bullhorn moment. BS, which was sold as a moment of potent muscular leadership when in fact it was what he had been training for since his days on the sidelines at Andover Prep. That brings us to the other big pageant this fall. A few days before 9/11, we were going to memorialize another day of national horror, the death of a huge swath of an American city, while the president and John McCain shared a few laughs over a birthday cake. So, that's true. I mean, New Orleans is a disaster. They seem to be ignoring that. From the America blog, Bush worried about America's soul and psyche. This is from Monday. And watching that news conference today was painful. He's so petulant. Bush clearly does not have a plan for Iraq. He never did. He's just looking for the best political advantage he can find from his quagmire. Bush got us into this mess based on lies, and he has not a clue as to how to get the U.S. out of this mess. Instead, Bush and his team are making it worse. If we are losing our soul or straying our psyche, it's because of George W. Bush, and he has absolutely no sense of that. So, wow. Wow. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And also from Monday from the Consortium News, an American turning point is from Peter Dyer. Under this new conventional wisdom, the Bush administration's mistakes in Iraq have indeed hurt the war on terror by alienating and radicalizing tens of millions of Muslims. But Washington's new groupthink continues to ignore a central reason why the United States is losing the hearts and minds of the Islamic world, as well as vast numbers of non-Muslims across the globe. That reason is George W. Bush. The elephant sitting in the official Washington's living room is this intractable reality. President Bush has so thoroughly lost credibility with nearly everyone on the planet and is so widely despised that he himself has become a clear and present danger to the U.S. National security. He has become Osama bin Laden's perfect foil, yet Bush is incapable of admitting mistakes and changing course. So that's, it says here, Peter Dyer suggests that the first difficult step the United States must take is to change national leadership and to demonstrate to the world that the American people are determined to reclaim their proud history as a chief defender of international law. If and when President Bush is impeached and removed from office, the next step should be to arrest him and the other architects of the unprovoked invasion and occupation of Iraq. Wow. So, pretty strong.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you.
Interesting.
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
What? I don't know. It's like watching Leno with him. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth. Poll, opposition to Iraq at an all-time high. This is from America Blog.
I don't think we need to be subliminal about the differences between our views on prescription drugs.
You better start taking some prescription drugs, I say. 35% of the American public is all this disaster of a war and this disaster of a president have left. When George Bush attacks the Democrats for wanting to change the course in Iraq, he now attacks the overwhelming majority of the American public. Note to Republicans, keep this jackass talking. He doesn't know.
The law assigned today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
They have no idea. I think they stick their heads in the ground. It's like the mole, Larry and Curly. I swear, it's Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld are wearing white beaters, and they've been having their way with this country for 6 long years. It's time for the American people to turn around and blast them. You know, send the Democrats into the House, and then we can send Hillary into the White House, and then put the stake through the heart of the GOP. That'll be the perfect revenge of the American people on this administration.
Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, Ramzi. Ramzi Al-Sheib, or whatever the guy's name was.
Mm-hmm. And this report says, the Marine says Haditha is not unusual. This is from Monday from the Associated Press. The Marine officer in charge of troops suspected of killing 24 Iraqi men, women, and children told investigators he did not initiate an inquiry into the carnage because he did not consider the deaths unusual, the Washington Post report on Saturday. In a sworn statement, Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey R. Chassani said, "I thought it was very sad, very unfortunate, but at the time I did not suspect any wrongdoing from my Marines." Chassani was commander of the 3rd Battalion of the 1st Marines. So I'm not going to comment on that. It's just a big mess. Until we get the full report out, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be horrible for what's left of our reputation in that part of the world. David Letterman said, "More Americans can name the Three Stooges than the three branches of government." Well, that's because the Three Stooges are more likely to get something done. I think the Three Stooges are Cheney, Bush, and Rumsfeld. You know, I don't know who's the Mo. Probably the Mo would be Cheney, and probably the Curly would be Bush. At least Larry is Rumsfeld. So, you know, whoop, 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 whoop. That's why I think that's how Bush was acting at the press conference earlier. Whoop, 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 whoop. I did not say we had 9/11, nothing to do with Iraq. So you got nailed on that. About time a reporter got up and pounced on him. Lieberman jabs at Rumsfeld, saying that military needs a change. Senator Joe Loser, poor sport Lieberman, facing continued criticism from many in the Democratic Party because of his support for the war in Iraq, leveled his most pointed criticism yet at the Pentagon during a television interview Sunday. for Deface the Nation, calling the calling for the resignation of Rumsfeld. Ned Lamont, who defeated Mr. Lieberman in the Democratic primary this month, said later that he had advocated that stance for months, and he questioned the timing of the senator's criticism. With the nation profoundly divided over the war, the men sought to hone their positions in increasingly pointed remarks. Lieberman says he thinks it's time for new leadership at the Pentagon, and with all due respect to Don Rumsfeld, who has done a grueling job for 6 years, we would benefit from new leadership to work with our military in Iraq. So, yeah, I don't know. It just keeps going. And also Monday, Senator Hagel, another one turning on the administration. He says that the GOP has lost its way. Republicans have lost their way when it comes to many core GOP principles and may be in jeopardy heading into the fall elections. Chuck Hagel of Nebraska says Hagel is possible presidential 2008 candidate, blah, blah, blah. He said Sunday that the GOP today is very different from the party, is a very different party from the one when he first voted Republican. Wow. He said when he first voted as a 1968 on top of a tank in the Mekong Delta. He says, where is the fiscal responsibility of the party he joined in 1968? Where is the international engagement of the party I joined? Fair, free trade, individual responsibility, not building a bigger government, but building a smaller government. His frustration does not lead him to think Democrats offer a better alternative, but Hagel wants to see the GOP return to its basic beliefs. Well, good luck there. That party's been hijacked by all the ditto heads and everything, and they're going to drive that party right into the ditch, finally. This November. Let's hope so, anyway. And this is from Monday. The government fulfills few Katrina promises. Nearly half of New Orleans was still underwater when Bush stood in the Crescent City's historic Jackson Square and swore he would do what it takes to rebuild the communities and lives that had been laid to waste 2 weeks before by Hurricane Katrina. He says the goal is to get the work done quickly. He promised to spend federal money wisely and accountably. And he vowed to address the poverty exposed by the government's inadequate Katrina response with bold action. And the government's been slow and unreliable in keeping the president's promises. Emergency assistance, a June report by the GAO, concluded that FEMA wasted between $600 and $1.4 billion in improper and potentially fraudulent individual assistance payments. The cleanup still isn't done. More than 100 million cubic yards of debris have been cleared from the region affected by Katrina. So far, the government has spent $3.6 billion, a figure that might have been considerably smaller had the contracts for debris removal been subject to competitive bidding. Interesting there. Working through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, FEMA gave each of four companies contracts worth up to $500 million to clear hurricane debris. And these companies apparently have charged the government as much as four to six times what they paid their subcontractors who actually did the work. So that's going to be a big scandal, and that gets going. Another one to add on to the pile of all the scandals they're already swimming with. And for Monday, penalties sought in recruiter misconduct. The ranking Democrat in the House Armed Services Committee said he would push to increase penalties for sexual misconduct by military recruiters. Ike Skelton, a congressman, was reacting to an investigation by the Associated Press that found that more than 80 military recruiters were disciplined last year for sexual misconduct with potential recruits.
Why, that wow. Ain't my belly button.
Well, that ain't my finger neither.
Yeah, that's the new way of trying to persuade people to join the military, I guess, is to sexually assault them. You know, or sexual misconduct, I should say. These abuses by military recruiters are absolutely unacceptable, the Missouri Democrat said in a phone interview. The National Guard's recently adopted rules of no one alone makes a great deal of sense and should be followed by all services, whether active duty, National Guard, or reserve. The no one alone policy prohibits male recruiters from being alone in offices or anywhere else with female enlistees. How sad is that? They came in, when you were a kid, you went out to chaperone in the damn recruiting office. They can't trust them being there alone. Get rid of them and put somebody else that can be in there alone with people. Is that hard to do? The AP investigation found the sexual misconduct cases occurred in all branches of the military and across the country. According to the information obtained, after dozens of Freedom of Information Act requests, at least 35 Army recruiters, 18 Marine Corps recruiters, 18 Navy recruiters, and 12 Air Force recruiters were disciplined in 2005 for sexual misconduct or other inappropriate behavior with potential enlistees. And one partridge in a pear tree, I guess. And from Conan O'Brien, he said, President Bush has announced that the federal deficit is actually $296 billion less than originally forecast. He says it's less, yeah. The president credits low unemployment, high job growth, and the fact that he did the math himself. That's a good one. That's a good one. Actually, Conan's hosting the Emmy Awards this week. And also from Sunday from the McLaughlin Group, Tony Blankley said about the Israel-Hezbollah war, he says, this is a defeat for those fighting radical Islam. Lawrence O'Donnell, also on the panel, praised Israel for doing something the GOP Congress would not do to Bush, order an inquiry into the conflict with Hezbollah. Eleanor Cliff said that the reputation of American military superiority has been undermined by Iraq, just like Israel's military has been undermined by the war with Hezbollah. So it's just bad. Guilt by association, I guess. I don't know. And Democrats add January voting in two more states. This is from Chicago. They've added the Nevada caucuses to the primary schedule and also the South Carolina primary. So apparently right after the Iowa caucus, it'll be the Nevada caucus, and then New Hampshire have its primary, and then after that, it'll be South Carolina. So I guess, I don't know, they're threatening to, what they say they're going to do, they're going to discipline any candidate who campaigns, presidential candidate that campaigns in a state that decides to ignore the new schedule by the Democrats. So I don't know about that, but and how about that cover of Time magazine this week? Hillary Clinton's on the cover. Wow. And she didn't even cooperate with the interview. So all this was done through secondary sources, through Time magazine and everything else. So very good. Rob Cordry said, between you and me, I don't know what macaca means, but it sure as hell sounds racist. And here in Virginia, they're still not sure if that helps or hurts a guy. So, and also from the blogs, from Crooks and Liars, Jamie Holly, the week in media distraction. On Thursday, when a federal judge ruled the NSA wiretapping program is illegal, that was huge news to us in the blogosphere. The network media didn't feel the same. They put together a table of the big three media, ABC, CBS, and NBC, devoted to the story on their nightly news and compared it to the time spent on the Ramsey case. NBC spent 7 minutes and 39 seconds on Ramsey and only 27 seconds on the NSA ruling. Actually, ABC did the best, where they spent 4 minutes and 3 seconds on Ramsey and 2 minutes on the NSA ruling. So, that was interesting. I thought it'd be interesting to spice up a little insight from the blogs as we go along. I thought that was pretty cool. And Jay Leno said the big drink at the White House Correspondents' Dinner this year is something called the Cheney Shot. Have you all had the Cheney Shot? He asked. The bartender pours you a shot of wild turkey and then throws it in your face. That's a good one, too. And according to a new Time magazine poll, Hillary Clinton is a Democrat most people would support for president. Most presidents agree that Hillary Clinton is intelligent, 81%, and that she's politically moderate, 67%. She's the Democratic nominee they'd support the most if she runs for president, leading the field with 46%. Just ahead of Al Gore is 41%. A majority, 53%, agree that she makes a generally favorable impression, but they don't agree on much else. That's nice. In One America, she's smart, committed, likable, with strong values and empathy for people like them. And in the other, she's an ambitious, callous appeaser. Wow. Republicans also think she's a divider, not a uniter, 52%. And just going by the numbers, the Republicans have a point. She may be the most polarizing figure in the current political landscape. Time asked respondents about 11 phrases one could use to describe her, from likable to would protect America against terrorism. Democrats and Republicans disagreed by a margin of over 40 points on applicability of 8 of them, and by 50 points on 3, including strong...
You are a bitch!
Wow. That's probably one of them. That's probably the uncensored one here. Let's see. Would protect America against terrorism. Republicans 17%, Democrats 67%. Has strong moral values. Republicans 16%, Democrats 69%. And to come closest in her polling about her intelligence, Republicans 73% and Democrats 91%. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And Senator Allen's lead is shrinking. He shrinks by 6 points after Makaka remark, according to the Rasmussen poll on Sunday. According to latest polling by Rasmussen, George Allen, his lead has shrunk by 6 points since before he referred to a young man of Indian descent working on his for his opponent, Democratic opponent James Webb, is Makaka. In the wake of the controversy, support for Allen has dipped below 50% for the first time this year. George Allen now only leads Webb 47-42%, 6 points less since the poll was taken in July. So that's incredible. That's an incredible stunner there. And pundits renounce the president among conservatives' voices and discord. Rich Lowry of the National Review said in an interview that there's a more of a sense now that things are on a downward trajectory and more of a willingness to acknowledge it and pressure the administration to react to it. And also Quinn Hillier, the executive director of the American Spectator, writing that many are upset because we seem not to be winning and there will be no way for the administration to credibly claim that the victory in Iraq is achievable, much less imminent. And, of course, William F. Buckley, he caused a stir earlier this year when he wrote that our mission has failed in Iraq just a few months after Bush hosted a White House tribute to Buckley on his 80th birthday. So I think with that, we'll take our musical interlude break, and I'll get our guest, Robert Rouse, on the line, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
Ask my cell phone plan.
When and who I have been calling.
Have I talked with Pakistan?
Did you know the NSA has got a friends and family plan?
And you've been added on.
Glory, how they'll listen to ya. Who you call and how they knew ya.
How sex hotline girls would do ya.
Or how long you stay on.
So what if they are hearing just exactly what we say?
If they're listening to 900 calls, they ought to help you pay.
Soon they'll know your every fetish.
And they'll know Tom Cruise is gay.
We've wondered for so long.
They will know if on his birthday you don't call your Uncle Brent. They will know if you don't call that girl who with the night you spent. Yes, the White House needs intelligence,
but this ain't what we meant.
They've got the whole thing wrong.
Glory, glory, what a drama. They'll know if you call your mama, but they still won't catch Osama, 'cause it's your fault they're on.
And we are back to Subject to Discussion live at LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. And we'll be joined now by Robert Rouse of the Left of Centrist blog. Robert, are you there, sir?
I'm right here.
Ah, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
It's a nice little musical interlude. I've never done that before between the segments. That was nice. Nice little break there.
That they can come in handy.
Now, give the listener, there'll be a lot of new listeners, and you've never been on the program before, a little background about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm a 51-year-old father of three. I was a professional musician for several years in the Midwest area. And finally decided to settle down. I got married, moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Wow.
Conservative bastion of, well, I don't know what to call them. I didn't think I could have children, and then one day I found out I could, and I had my first child at the age of 47.
Good for you.
So I have a 4-year-old. I have a girl that's about to turn 2. And we adopted a special needs child, and he's 11 now.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
You know, we've always tried to do, I don't know, what we felt like should be the right thing. So,
oh, excellent.
I think that's a good sign of a good Democrat anymore.
That's right. That's right. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Ah, yes, Star Trek fan.
There you go. Yeah, you know what? We just had the big Star Trek convention here in Las Vegas.
I know. I heard all about it. Mm-hmm. I've never been to one of those conventions, though. So I don't know what I'm missing.
I was in striking distance of it, and I did walk past Kate Mulgrew, so that was close as I got to the Star Trek people. Mm-hmm. They charged you to go in at $35. And I just couldn't. I'm kind of cheap, so I couldn't part with the $35. I probably should have. Now, what's the big news on your blog right now?
Well, right now there really isn't any big news. I've just been talking about Bush yesterday and his little press conference yesterday, and that's really been about the only thing that I've actually spoke about for a while here. I've been a little busy getting the children ready for school, so I generally fill up my blog with regular features about the Beatles. I happen to be a big Beatles fan.
Wow. And here in Vegas, we got the new Beatles show at the Mirage.
Yes, Cirque du Soleil.
Yes, it's supposed to be wonderful, everybody's talking about. But yeah, the press conference. Now, this was like a thrown-together press conference. It wasn't really scheduled that far in advance, right?
Right.
He just kind of threw it together.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of flew off the handle about the Iraq business. He really, he hits a point, he goes nuts, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think he may be trying to salvage what little reputation the Republican Party has before November comes around by, when he was talking about how he appreciated the other side, the people who were opposed to the war in Iraq, but that, he said as long as he's going to be president, we're going to be over there. So I think it was a little bit of an empty reach out to the other side.
Yeah, and then I like how that reporter finally got up and asked him, was Iraq involved with 9/11? Of course, mm-hmm. we've never said that.
It's like, I put a lot of the things that that have been said by the White House on the blog, at least the Bush administration, about when they were linking Iraq,
mm-hmm.
With 9/11, how they've done it over and over again, how Bush, whenever he's talking about the war in Iraq, will generally throw in the term 9/11 or September 11th. Mm-hmm. He's still trying to use that to his advantage.
Yeah, he doesn't come out and say it, but he links it by the words. And he says 9/11, and he throws out Saddam Hussein, and then Iraq. Then, people pick up on those words. Uh-oh, yeah, and then they start piecing them together.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just last year, he said that the war reached our shores on September the 11th, 2001. Mm. And he's talking about the Americans that are disturbed about all the deaths in Iraq.
Yeah.
And I found that a little, to me, that's coming right out and trying to tell people that.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you watched Countdown today, but Oberman had a whole segment about this stuff with the administration, Iraq, and 9/11, and how it went through, like, I think 11 instances of how they've pieced it together, like this and this, and then how 2 days after Kerry got the nomination for the Democrats, and all of a sudden the alert went up for something going on. It's turned out to be a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll also notice how the stock market tends to go down some, and I start thinking about all these corporations and everything out there that are, making billions and billions of dollars off of this administration,
mm-hmm.
and how they've got all kinds of pull with the stock market, and they can make it look bad for the Democrats sometimes, I believe.
Yeah.
Just through a few little trades.
Yeah, and actually, Darth Quayle is in the chat room. He's talking about what a progressive is. You want to feel that one? I don't know.
Well, I think a progressive is somebody who is probably a little bit more left of left, or what the right would have you think is the left. In some cases, a progressive can be seen as extreme, mm-hmm. when all they're actually doing is telling how they feel about things. I mean, they're very heartfelt about any issue that they get a hold of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like me. I mean, I am a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I worked on the Clinton campaign in Chicago and all that, but I'm not way off there. I don't
believe it, any of them really are way out there. That's what I meant when I said, they're putting their passion out there for what they're trying to represent.
Yeah.
And I understand that. you're very passionate about things. So I think that a progressive is probably a Democrat that seems to be a little more impassioned about things.
Yeah, it's like I always refer to myself as a pro Democrat because I see that fiscal responsibility as well as caring for the average people. So that's where I stand. I like to see the Democrats gain power. My view is I like to see them only gain one of the houses of Congress. That way, I force them all to compromise up there on the Hill.
Well, you know what too about the. I think that the race coming up in November is going to be extremely important for this country. I think it's probably the most important election that we've had coming up for a long time, and I think there's a lot of congressmen that need to go. I think there's a few that need to stay, but we need some new blood in there so we can get this country back on track.
Absolutely. Actually, I got your quote of the day, which is very prophetic. A bureaucrat is a Democrat who holds some office that a Republican wants.
Harry Truman.
And also, during that press conference, it seems like Bush, took off after the Democrats is saying that, I forgot, he went on a tangent about the, they're good people, but they're just plain wrong about this. It's just like he's unrelenting. If he knows this policy is a complete failure and he's trying to save what's left of his presidency or what?
I think, he wants a legacy. He thought his legacy was going to be as the man who liberated Iraq. He had that on his mind since way before he became president. Bob Woodward was talking to him on the campaign trail back in 2000, and he said he wanted to finish, the job that his father never did. And so he's had this on his mind for a long time.
Well, he's going to be the man the president remembers, one of the worst in this country's history. He's the one that's plundered the nation's treasury and sent all those soldiers to their deaths in Iraq and everything for this brainless war. And we're right back to where we started with this thing, too. Baghdad's up for grabs.
Yep.
And now Afghanistan's starting to go up for grabs. What have we accomplished in all these years besides wasting all of our money?
I think basically the biggest thing is we've made the world less safe. I believe that Bush has created more terrorists than he's killed. So I don't see he's done anything but go backwards, and I think he's reached a point of no return, and I don't think that anything he does right now is going to salvage his presidency.
I don't know how he could now you have Hagel turning on him, and then McCain was turning on him as well, saying that they never should have painted a rosy scenario for Iraq. That was a huge mistake by the administration. That's huge coming from McCain, because McCain's been kissing his ass for months now, and then he's getting some of his Texas Rangers raising money for him. Now he turns around and does this, so I imagine Bush will take him to the woodshed over this.
Well, what I think is amazing is how so many of the Republicans have been turning away from Bush, and how I can't figure out why some people would actually want him to come and campaign for them. To me, that would almost be political suicide in many cases. Now, if it was in this area, it would work because, the truly red state areas, the deep, deep red, they support him no matter what.
It's unbelievable. I don't know if you read that article, but in the Consortium News, they say impeachment would practically be too good for him. If and when he does get impeached, they should put him in jail. Then, I hate this because we do an impeach. We do impeach Bush. It like every president be impeached. Then, you know what I mean?
You're right. We impeached Bill Clinton for an indiscretion. For lying about an indiscretion. And yet, this president lies. It seems like, monthly there's something else that comes out that he has not been quite forthright about, and nobody seems to be interested other than, the few Democrats on the Hill that would like to try it, but there's nobody out there really pushing for it, and I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't think so. I would not like the censure. Okay, fine, let's censure him over it. But I think the revenge for the Democrats would be to take back the House and then. And then send a blizzard of subpoenas and everything else to the White House. They'll take care of him for the last couple of years of his presidency.
Absolutely. That's one of the major reasons we need to get control of the House and the Senate back. We need somebody that's going to get in there and have some accountability from this White House.
Yeah, it's like the Israelis are going to hold hearings about their conduct of the war with Hezbollah, and yet the Republicans have yet to do that with the Bush administration.
For some reason, if you say anything at all about the war, they're turning in it now so that you're pro-terrorist. I mean, it's, you know, really an asinine thought, but they're using that, and I think to some extent it works on some people.
Mm-hmm. That's true. No, I don't know if you saw the new Time magazine with Hillary on the cover. What'd you think of that?
It's an amazing story. To be honest, I haven't really been very pro-Hillary in the past, and I see her as, you know, being somebody who's going to really divide the Democratic Party for a while.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was all for Hillary, and then I thought, well, maybe she's too divisive for the country. You know, after Clinton, now after Bush, the country's so divided, and maybe needed a uniter, not a, you know, divider and all that, like Bush said he was going to be.
Right.
I thought, you know what, the hell with that. I mean, you know, the Republicans want this war. You know, let's get Hillary in there, and it'd be like you said, the stake through the heart. You know.
Right. Well, I think she probably has a really good shot, and if she got in, I would say, okay, hooray. I'm just not sure, you know, whether they're going to go for her or not. I know right now she's the front runner. And, you know, the entire Time piece that they did on her, where they were talking about how,
yes, well,
you know, Bill could be very, you know, he could either be her savior or he could be her crucifier, basically.
Yeah, he either help her chances or kill her chances altogether, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like the wild card here.
Yeah, if he could just go away or something, or just really lower his profile or something, it might help her out. You know, gain the spotlight and create her own image instead of being, you know, just the wife of Bill Clinton. Yeah, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I can see them making maybe a couple of appearances together because let's face it, you know, he is probably, you know, the best politician we've had in this country in many, many years. You know, despite his shortcomings.
Yeah.
And he's a very intelligent man. He was able to work with Congress. He was able to get a lot done without, you know, dividing the country up, except for the extreme right in this case, which they seem to be after him at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, especially Falwell and them, you know, the Clinton Chronicles and all that BS going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he claimed he had no part in it. I seem to remember those Clinton Chronicles were for sale on his website.
Yeah. Oh, man, the Kenneth Starr became a star, basically because of Clinton.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and they were ruthless in their, you know, the pursuit.
Oh, yeah.
To actually end up with what they ended up with.
True.
You know, it was just pathetic.
Yeah, and they act like, you know, with now everybody's going after Bush, and we never went after Clinton like this. That's baloney. I remember every week they you know, the Ken Starr, and how long did that thing last? 3, 4, 5 years?
From what, 94 on?
Yeah, and then the whole thing with the impeachment and the getting the BJ in the oral office and all that. I mean,
Foster killing, or the suicide.
Oh, yeah.
Whitewater. I mean, there was always something else coming up.
Yeah, and I don't know how they can claim it's complete memory loss. How they can claim, you know, they did nothing to Clinton. How dare you go after Bush?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. He's a wartime president. I mean, come on, I don't remember this Declaration of War. You know, where's this Declaration of War?
Yeah,
you know?
There has never been any official Declaration of War. I don't believe. I mean, Congress may have okayed, you know, us going into Iraq, but which is still wrong of them.
Mm.
You know, but no, there is no official war on terrorism other than what Bush and the rest of the right have come up with.
Yeah. Now, how do you see these the midterms shaking out? You got a couple of, you know, big Senate race up in Pennsylvania with Santorum and Casey. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
I can actually see Santorum getting beat.
Wow.
I've got a feeling that this country has had enough of what's been going on. They know they've got to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are not that stupid of a country. These people have got to know that the road we're on right now is going to lead to nothing but disaster. And we've got to turn around as quickly as possible, not just for this country, but for the rest of the planet.
Yeah. I mean, do you really think so? I don't know, because the USA Today had a thing about the polls are starting to look a little brighter for the GOP. I'm like, are these people insane? Are they watching too much American Idol or you know, Survivor to know what's going on in the world?
It does seem like sometimes, especially, you know, with all the, you know, the 24-hour news broadcasts that go on now, they're always looking for something else. And in many cases, they've turned these elections into almost an American Idol type thing. You know, there's constant profiles of each of the candidates, you know. And they're not the type of profiles that we used to see back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah.
You know, there's these in-depth profiles that, that look like something from Entertainment Tonight. So it's
it's amazing. Actually, I'm on your blog now at from Friday, the August 18th, about warrants. We don't need no sneaking warrants. And they show Bush with a headset and him tearing up the Constitution.
I like to have fun with Photoshop.
That's excellent. Excellent. You should send that to Jib, what's it called? Jib Jab, or whatever it is? Jib Jab?
Jibber
Jab? Yeah, they probably make a whole thing out of that. That's true. Now, what do you think of that ruling? Now, I'm all set for that judge to be the new Attorney General of the United States if you know, when Hillary takes office. What do you think?
I don't really know that much about that one.
Oh, really? Because the judge came out and she slapped down the administration saying that the...
that judge?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. I apologize.
That's okay.
I was thinking of someone else when you said that.
No, it's okay. I jump around a lot. I'm sorry. Yeah, she really blasted the administration that, as far as she knows, this country does not have hereditary power and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she really... Was it Anna Diggs or something like that? Anna Diggs Taylor.
U.S. District Judge,
oh, here it is.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's on your own blog. It says, it was never the intent of the framers that give the president such unfettered control, particularly where his actions blatantly disregard the parameters clearly enumerated in the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
So she's pretty much saying that he violated the Bill of Rights in addition to the Constitution, huh?
Oh, absolutely, the Fourth Amendment.
Wow. Man, can we make her the Attorney General or Vice President? Really? I mean,
that's not a bad idea. I'm sure she's going to go somewhere. At least somebody finally had the guts to stand up and say, "Hey, listen, we've got this document here called the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to follow this and instead of trying to tear it apart."
Yeah, stop wiping your ass with it and actually reading this stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm tired of him using it to line his birdcage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And what else is in the chat room? 08. You really don't have a front runner. You like who you see out there in 08 running, you know, besides Hillary? Who else would you like?
I believe that John Edwards has probably got the intelligence for it. Mm. I don't think he's got the numbers for it. And I would really like to have seen Wesley Clark run, except he's got such a pro stay in Iraq stance with him that I have trouble with that. That's the same problem I really have with Hillary.
Yeah, but she's been changing her tune a little bit. She really, gave Rumsfeld indigestion a couple weeks ago. She really tore him a new one.
Oh, I know. It seems like she's changing, and I can see why. I mean, right now, she's what? She's hired a couple of internet experts.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to be starting something similar to what Dean had.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
she's...
I can see her coming on.
Yeah, she's got a heck of a team. And, I like that, you know, she stood up to them, and, you know, because Rumsfeld gets up there, and he acts like he's, up on a hill or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's like holier than thou, up on a pedestal.
Right.
It's good that they're starting to slap him down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Anytime Rumsfeld gets slapped down, you know, I get a little giddy.
Yeah, and then Cheney. Now, where's Cheney been? You know, is he hiding in his hole or what?
No, he's still out there talking. Generally, basically going the different direction than Bush did in his speech, where he said that, you know, the Democrats were there, at least the anti-war people were caring, intelligent people, but they just don't understand the way the world works.
Mm-hmm.
And
in
the meantime, Cheney's on the other end, you know, trying to still compare us to the people who are pro-peace as being pro-terrorism, and, you know, I'm just a little bit, I get a little fed up when I start talking about Cheney and Bush together.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I've heard him as the Count Dracula or the Darth Vader. It's just that, I don't know why Bush hasn't catapulted him yet. I mean, between him and Rumsfeld, I mean, I think the world will have a huge sigh of relief if he gets rid of those two.
We definitely need to get rid of Rumsfeld, and obviously Gonzalez is going a little overboard by just backing every single thing Bush says, and you know Gonzalez knows the Constitution. He knows that what's going on with the wiretaps is illegal.
Yeah.
So it seems like the entire administration is just kowtowing. Yeah, probably to Carl Rove.
Now, didn't he say something about terrorists could be hiding in our neighborhoods? I mean, it's more of that fear-mongering that they've been doing.
They've constantly... Well, fear has been one of their number one campaign pieces, you know, since the year... Since after 9/11. Mm-hmm. It's fear this, fear that. They talk about how they... Well, once again, we're going back to Iraq again, and how he still tries to tie 9/11 into Iraq, and he's using the deaths of all those people to promote a war.
Yeah.
And I find it a little ironic that this same administration talks about Cindy Sheehan and saying that she's exploiting her son mm-hmm. for a political reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it a little ironic, and I think that they need to step back and take a look at what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I mean, Richie Gonzalez, I'm up there saying there's, you know, in terrorists in the neighborhoods and all that. It's like, what? Are you out of your mind? You know, I mean, is scared the hell out of people. You know, I don't, is he a...
what else do they use for fear? I mean, gay marriage. Like, it's really going to harm the fabric of this country. That mm-hmm. people who are already living together could have, legal rights to each other.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they pulled that out the last time, and Rove's going to pull that out again in, probably too late for 06, but 06 and 08, they're going to pull out that. Now they're gonna, the big thing's going to be the gay adoption thing. Mm-hmm. They'll be beating the daylights out of that. You don't want the gays adopting these kids because, you know, you'll be saying, oh, they're scared. Oh, you don't know what they're going to do with them once they get them home. You know what I'm saying? Suggesting
they constantly have to come up with these wedge issues to drive the Christian right and the down-home folk who really don't get out into the city too much. Even though everyone has a television now, everyone knows what's going on in the world, but they don't ever feel it in their own community. And so these are the people who are frightened by what Bush and his administration are doing each time when they do these wedge issues. And it's going to continue. They're constantly going to find a new wedge issue that's going to drive middle America and the Christian right farther away from the left.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And then we're also talking about the, Randy Duke Cunningham. Do you have any opinions about that Duke Cunningham case? That's still unraveling, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, there's so much, I mean, with the Abramoff thing, and there's always going to be a little bit of corruption, and I think it's always been going on, and I think it probably always will. It's just every now and then one of them's going to get caught. Mm. It's not right, but it's going to get bad for him. It's going to get bad for some of his compatriots.
Yeah. Now, where do you get your news from?
I generally get my news from all different types of news sites. I check out the BBC World News. I get the local news, of course. Mm-hmm. I'll check out little snippets of USA Today. I read Time Magazine. I read Newsweek Magazine.
Wow.
I read a lot of things. I even go to Fox News just every now and then just to see what it's like on the other side. So
you get your shots after you come back from Fox News or what? A rabies shot.
I was inoculated a long time ago. All you have to do is go see out Fox, and I think that's where you get your vaccination.
Yeah. Or I don't know if you saw. Do you watch Countdown at all on MSNBC?
I do. I love Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, he did a thing today about some guy was pulled over for playing music somewhere, and I guess that guy, the guy who was pulled over. Oh, I wasn't listening to, you know, it was a noise ordinance, I guess. And he goes, oh, I wasn't. It was in a Jeep. And he goes, oh, I wasn't playing noise. I was playing Bill O'Reilly's radio show. And then the cop still gave him a ticket. And he goes, sorry, O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly is not exempt from this statute. So he still gave him the ticket. And the guy went off to rip into this cop and call him every name in the book. It was amazing.
He was just, you know, following Bill's example. He figured if he could cut him off enough, that the guy would eventually give up and leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And O'Reilly's pounding drums with that new book he's got coming out. It's amazing. I mean, he does 2 hours on the radio and 1 hour on the TV. It just. Do you watch Hardball at all?
I've seen Hardball. I love Chris Matthews.
Yeah, he does. He does excellent. He does excellent as well. Uh-huh. And then, okay, everybody's asking, who's your favorite Beatle?
John Lennon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, actually, they're bringing the Lennon art display back here to Vegas to the mm-hmm. Hard Rock Hotel. I believe it's going to be in October.
Mm-hmm.
So, but definitely.
That's great. You know, I've never been to Vegas. I've always wanted to. I'm sorry, Las Vegas. You can probably say, right?
I call it Vegas, but yeah.
Well,
you'll have to come out and see the, what do you call it? The
Love?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, I tell you how big of a Beatles fan I am. My son, who was born in 2002, is named Harrison after George.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And my daughter, who will be 3 in September, her name is McCartney Ray Rouse.
Wow, you're a big fan then.
Yes, I am. And plus my wife and I thought about it after we named him Harrison. Of course, George had died year before. And so we thought we'd name him Harrison. And then when we had a daughter coming along and we knew it was going to be a girl, we started thinking of girls' names. And somebody, I think it was me, but I jokingly said McCartney. And as it came out of my mouth, I thought, and if we add my late grandfather's middle name and put an E on the end of it, we'll call her McCartney Ray, and it sounds like a little girl's name.
Wow, wow. So. Well, Robert, we'll let you go at the end of our time with you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, sir.
It's been a pleasure, Sean.
And we'll check out your blog at leftofcentrist.com and also leftofcentrist.blogspot.com, correct?
Correct.
All right, you have a good night, sir. Thank you very much.
You too, Sean, and hope to see you again.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Robert Rouse of the Left of Centrist blog. We thank him for being on, an outstanding discussion of the political news of the week. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Jamie for a review of the Stargate episodes, and we'll be right back. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And that was the Centurion, Mr. Consular, thank you very much. And this is the second hour of Subject to Discussion live on LVRocks.com as well as S2DRadio.com. Thank you for everybody listening live as well as in the chat room. And also thank you for everybody listening on the podcast. We had a good first hour having at the GOP and the Bush administration big time. And Bush bashing extravaganza is usually the first hour. So now we'll have the Stargate extravaganza with Scully Girl. Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear that theme music. Especially with the news. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I was just starting to get into it, too.
Yeah, well, I did, though, see a thing on Gate World that makes me wonder. They basically said not to
worry.
Pay all attention to it. I don't know if they're talking about the possible movie or if it's going to be in our channel, because it says Stargate will go on. It was by Cooper, and it says, don't count it out just yet. The Sci-Fi Channel has canceled the long-running series, but the show's producers are hard at work looking for a new outlet for it to continue. And it sounds like they have an idea, but they can't give it away yet, so I'm hoping that's something good.
Well, you know, you said it's, well, they'll probably, because it was in syndication anyway, MGM, they'll probably just keep it in syndication, and then it won't air on Sci-Fi Network, Sci-Fi Channel, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, but I want new episodes.
Yeah, well, I imagine some ways. I think the problem with them is the same thing with Galactica, that they sent out the damn DVDs so fast. You know, why sit and watch it week and week? You just wait 6 months and get the whole thing on DVD.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll say, oh, well, you have to watch it live or you won't get the DVDs for like 2 years. Then everybody will watch it live.
Yeah, they used to make you wait forever right now. Yeah. For different shows. I mean, not for Stargate, but for other shows.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll do that. Now, what did you think about the 200? You were concerned about that. You know, I thought it was hilarious.
I did, too. I think it's my favorite episode. I really enjoyed it. Definitely more than Atlantis this week. I mean, I did like Atlantis, but I definitely liked the Stargate episode better.
Yeah, and they open with them in the room, and they're going over that script with Martin, right?
Yes, for Wormhole Extreme for the movie, and they sort of show the Furlings, even if it isn't in the movie, per se, but...
And then they go through the some of the stories. They said the main actor has left, and the idea is to keep him referenced and all that. They went through the one with O'Neill and he was invisible and all that stuff.
Yeah, there was like in jokes almost every line. Yeah. I was laughing through the whole thing, and I also like Willie Garson too. I think he was really good in it, the one that plays Martin. But I mean, there were so many jokes, like with Jack not being there, obviously. And even with Daniel not being there, but I think my favorite joke out of the whole night was when he was saying that they needed something that was different, that people wouldn't expect. And then Jack walks in and he's like, something like this? And they're like, people will know ahead of time. They're like, it'll be in the spoilers. No, it'll be in the commercial. Totally making fun of itself and about, you know, them being gone and everything.
And yeah. And I like how they Landry tried to save him by letting him go out to the Stargate, and of course the Stargate wouldn't dial out. It was Mitchell's 200th trip that kind of set the premise for the episode.
Yeah.
You know? And then what else? Wait, I'm trying to think here. And what else? They go back to rehashing that movie script, and then
giving ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Vala comes up with these ideas. It's like the Wizard of Oz and all that.
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz, and then of course the Farscape little clip there.
Yeah, that was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, they had to do a nod to that, and then
Star Trek.
And a Star Trek. They had a good nod to Star Trek. And I didn't see any nods towards Battlestar Galactica at all, did you?
No, there wasn't. I mean, I thought it was good. It was funny that she's just pitching these things and doesn't think he'll know somehow. But, I mean, all of their ideas, too, were, you know, really wacky, like Mitchell with his zombies and everything. And I don't know if you noticed it, but Walter Harum and Gary Jones' character, the technician, he gets eaten by one of the zombies.
They
had that real quick.
Yeah, they're biting into his forehead or something like that, in his scalp.
Yeah, before the door goes down.
Yeah.
And also another joke I noticed is every time Martin's cell phone rang, it had the SG-1 theme. So was the wedding music, though, at Sam and Jack's wedding, too. But
really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, every time. Because at first I wasn't sure, and then I kept listening. I'm like,
so it was the theme? Every time the phone rang, it was the theme for the series?
Yeah, it was the theme.
Ah, that was interesting. And then they did the whole thing with the Star Trek. It is like scene 24 and act 2, and they're on a cruise on a starship.
With the big, whatever it was, big blast or something that make better trailers.
Yeah, and then Mitchell's like doing his Kirk impersonation and everything. That was pretty cool. I like that, the whole scene. And then, of course, Jack O'Neill shows up. And what else? And then Teal'c tries to become a private investigator, right?
Yeah, he scares the heck out of Martin. He's like, he'll talk to the people. The other thing I thought was funny, just a little thing that I cracked up on, was how they lined it up with the show. Like Mitchell's saying that they need better opening credit sequence, and he's like, no, they just show the title up and get it over with, and then that's what you suddenly see, and it's done. And then the other party says something about that there's like what happens at the end of Act 3, and he's like, nothing, and then he just cut it off. I thought that was just, I don't know, different.
You know, it just dawned on me, we're talking about the beginning of the episode, and they said, oh, you know, don't have some big opening, just throw up the title and get on with it, and they didn't. They cut right to the quick little scene of the opening theme of the series.
Yeah.
No, that was like they did last season for Stargate from SG-1.
Yeah, that's probably a joke to that, too. I hadn't even thought about that.
And they did the whole wedding thing, and
Jack being invisible in Sam's shower. That was
yeah.
Totally see that. So and his whole invisible scene, that was really funny, in my opinion. Even Teal'c talking to him, like, making jokes, actually, I can see right through you, and that kind of thing. So.
And then, what else? Let's see. Martin comes back, and he says, revealed that the studio isn't happy with the ending. Jack suggests fishing, but doesn't go over very well. And then they wanted a wedding between Sam and Jack, but nobody's buying that either. That was pretty funny as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all start going through the gate. They pretty much take everybody and their brother with them through the gate.
Yeah.
Now, the cake. Now, what was that? Was it Jack's birthday, or what was it? What was the cake all about?
The stuff that they were getting, I assumed was supposed to be for Mitchell going through the 200th time. So.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, it's more because they heard Landry saying, do you have the cake ready? And, the other SG teams are there already,
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the other thing they had, too, I had almost forgot about was when they said they were going to use a younger cast.
Mm-hmm.
When they had in the younger actors supposed to be them, that was different, too. And
then the woman who plays Sam Carter in the Wormhole Extreme was Hadrian on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That dark-haired woman they interviewed at the end when they did the whole 10 years later of Wormhole Extreme.
Yeah, and the show's gone on for, 200 episodes, surprise, right?
Yeah, I thought that was funny, too. They got the Dom DeLuise's son, what's his name? He's playing the Mitchell character.
Yep.
You know, and they play off of that. They play off of the one that playing the Daniel character, how I came back, it was the fans.
Yeah, and he had the website to save him.
And then they talk about the series, I won all these Saturn Awards and all that. And
yeah, and also the thing, too, about pretending that Jack is Mitchell's father, that was just bizarre, but funny.
Yeah, what was that all about? I'm like, really? I don't know if that was true or
I think they were just supposed to be pulling his chain because they couldn't tell him about the case. That was my opinion. At least I hope he's not really his son, but. And then they had the whole puppet thing.
Oh, yeah,
the marionette puppets, and they go through the gate and their strings cut off, and then Teal'c just laughs at them as they die. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was the, what's that ripoff of the Thunderbirds, I think it was, right?
I think
that was it.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny as well. They pulled out all the tricks and everything, and they really went to bank on this 200th episode. You know, I mean, everybody thought it was going to be kind of cheap and kind of a hokey like a clip show, but really they did a pretty good episode, I thought.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought everybody was really good in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the main cast one in particular, but like I said, I really think Martin or. The guy who plays Martin did a really good job.
Oh, yeah.
I like him a lot.
So he was the MVP from SG-1
for
you?
That's what I said. I'd actually think I'd say Willie Garson for that.
Wow.
Jack was good, too. It's just, I don't know. I really enjoyed his character because he. I've liked him because he was in X-Files too, and I was like, him, he cracks me up. So
actually, a question for the chat room: were you surprised that McKay didn't show up? Well, I don't know about that. we have liked
yeah,
seeing
that
McKay.
That would have kind of been funny, but
yeah, see him show up at some scene in the 200th episode. I don't know, huh?
I hadn't really thought about that, yeah. But I could see that. They could have put that in.
Did he really play a big role on the series? He only made a few appearances, right?
He was in a few episodes, yeah. But I mean, it had impact. I think people remembered it because of him liking Sam and everything and her not liking him. And they had some moments. I mean, I remember liking him in that but and thinking he was funny. But you more, I think, remembered him after the fact once they brought in, you know, Atlantis. Then you go back and you're like, hey, I remember him.
Yeah, and then now, what about Atlantis now? What'd you think of The Real World? I thought that was an outstanding episode.
It was, but it's one of those things that kind of gives you a creepy feeling at the same time.
Really?
You don't know what's real and what's not real, and you think they're going to make it like, I don't know, in my opinion, I was kind of like, kept thinking they're going to like make it like she's awake, but then she's not really awake, but they didn't do that, so.
Yeah, it kind of left you wondering if the whole thing is still, in a figment of her imagination or something, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of, even what's his name said at the end? John says, is this real or is it isn't? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could have replicators too.
Yeah, and then he's because she wakes up in the mental institution, and the doctor who was from the he was the captain of the Enterprise. Enterprise, which one was it? The it was on Generations. Enterprise D, I think it was. Was it E D? Well, I keep losing all the letters, but one of them. He was the one with when Kirk was up there with Scotty and Chekhov. Do you ever see Star Trek Generations?
No, I don't watch Star Trek.
Well, if you go back, you'll see him. He's the captain of the Enterprise in this episode, in that movie. And then nothing works on the ship and everything. The photon torpedoes won't be on until Tuesday, and all the phasers won't be until Tuesday. And it's like a skeleton crew, and the ship's not even ready. Wait a minute. It's got to be Enterprise D, I think. C or D. I don't know. Maybe it's B. I don't know.
They're Canadian actors. What is it? There's only 47 Canadian actors, or whatever the joke is.
And they all show up in one of these series eventually, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're good. I mean, they're all good.
Yeah, he did a good job on there as a Fletcher on that episode. He's outstanding. And then he says that a car accident killed her fiance, Simon, and apparently the last 2 years is all a figment of her imagination. She has psychosis.
Yeah, which she's definitely not ready to believe. And then she keeps seeing images like people that are sort of can't really tell who they are, fuzzy. She knows something's going wrong and thinks she's going crazy, but yet she thinks everything really happens, so she doesn't exactly know what to do until she quits taking the medicine and then changes her mind and starts taking it again. And
and then she has to meet with Jack O'Neill, so this is his appearance on Atlantis, uh-huh. Right? And now they must have filmed this the same day because he's wearing he's in the uniforms. So they must have went across the street or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Atlantis. Enterprise B, that's what it was. Enterprise B, yes. His name, he was also on Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I did see.
Dr. Fletcher, he played Ferris Bueller's friend Cameron, the guy with the car in the garage, the race car.
I don't know how you keep up with both. I try to read it, and I get lost trying to talk to. I guess you get used to it.
And what else? So Jack O'Neill comes to her and says the last thing she did was the peace accord, and he has no idea what Stargate is or Atlantis, nothing. He says it was like a rock song he never liked. That was pretty funny. And then he shakes his head. That's why she knows something's up, right?
Yeah, she sees him shaking real hard, or kind of, it's hard to explain, the weird effects. So yeah, she knows something's wrong, like he's not real or whatever. And
then somehow they bring in Weir's mother, and it she starts to believe maybe it was all a figment of imagination, huh?
Yeah, this actually reminds me a lot of the episode of X-Files Field Trip.
Really?
Because they had, when they saw characters they realized weren't really there, they kind of had like weird imagery going over them. You knew they weren't real, but that's what it reminded me of. But yeah, and she doesn't know what to believe, and then they show her at Atlantis. She's hooked up to tubes and stuff, and they tell that she's got the nanites in her from touching
that guy,
the replicant from the other episode, replicator.
Yeah, so they kind of tied that into this episode. That was pretty. I like how they did that. They linked it in, and
yeah, continuity.
Yeah, and then Dr. Beckett's it comes up with this thing, this zapper or something like that. So get rid of the nanites, right?
Yep.
And then what's his name? McKay tries to hog the spotlight, I guess, right?
As always.
and then she starts hearing the voices, I guess, right? And she opens that door, and it's the Stargate.
It's the Event Horizon, and then they of course tie her down, and then John starts talking to her, in Atlantis, hoping she can hear me. I'm telling her, you gotta fight this, and seems to be hearing some of it because that's when she, you know, gets rid of the pills and
yeah, and I like how and then she goes back to Stargate Command, right, and then she starts fighting down, going down the hall, and O'Neill shows up. And then John shows up, and she charges and goes, ends up going through the gate, right?
Yeah, and then the guy stops her. He's like, you know, you can't go through. And they're like, he tells her that they've already won since her friends aren't there anymore. But she just walks right through them.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, and then she wakes up. It's only been like a day or two after that thing happened with the
5 hours.
Yeah, 5 hours went by. But it was a good episode. I mean, it's always like, how are they going to resolve this? You know what I mean? And then. Just imagine to build a whole story of, you know, of her being, you know, knocked out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to see a little bit more, too, into her character, which I think is good. So I think the MVP for this one was definitely Weir. She had the biggest part, but, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I did like SG-1 better, but...
Yeah. Well, and then at the end, she after John walks away, she's got that timepiece in her hand. Now, what is that supposed to mean? It kind of threw me for a loop. I'm like, wait a minute now.
I guess what I got out of it is that when she was at the hospital, her mother gave it to her. It was from her father. It sounds like her father was dead. And evidently, she gave it to her before because she said she had taken it to Atlantis with her. So it was obviously something meaningful, and it shows she still has it. So.
Huh. Interesting. So MVP was Weir?
Yeah.
Now, scale 1 to 10, how would you rate the...
Atlantis, 8.
Really?
Yeah, 7.5 to 8, probably. Like I said, I still rate that for everything. But but Stargate, I really like Stargate. But I think to appreciate it fully, I think you have to have seen a lot of the season to understand all the jokes. And also, if you saw the other episodes with the character of Martin Lloyd, I think it makes a difference, too.
Yeah. I didn't see this, so I was kind of lost with him. They all seem to know him in some way as well. You know?
Yeah, it was for the 100th episode. Yeah. Big jokes and everything, the same kind of thing, but it was for the TV show. And I also today actually have, if I can find my right notes, I found different news for Stargate. Obviously that Sci-Fi canceled Stargate, but that Atlantis was renewed.
Yes.
And also, they canceled, which I don't understand because they already started making it, but they canceled the video game, Stargate Alliance. It was for the PlayStation and I think Xbox. They canceled that, but there is going to be a multiplayer online game, evidently, for the PC they had listed.
Really?
And also, the other thing that was good is that it says that the ratings got a big boost from before.
Yes.
It says 200th first episode of Season 10 to meet and even exceed last year's average rating of 1.8.
That's very good.
Atlantis earned 1.82.
Wow. Yeah, cause I have that too. And then Atlantis did real well, and they renewed it for a fourth season. So I wonder now, if they keep SG-1 on, now will they still be able to do the crossovers? Because Atlantis will still be on Sci-Fi. Well, Atlantis is also in syndication, so I guess they could still do the crossovers because I guess it doesn't really matter. MGM produces both shows.
Yeah, so. And they can do what they want, unless they do get another channel. What I'm getting, though, out of them saying not to worry, I'm assuming that they're talking about, we've heard the spoilers about the possible movie, but that's kind of hard to know for sure. So.
Yeah, but they're all talking about, I was on Yahoo right now, they're talking about Lights Out for Stargate SG-1. I mean, they're all really piling on, like it's the end of the series, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you've got to send in letters and sign the petitions. I know I've already signed the petition they have, and I want to see it come back, but...
What's the other thing? I saw something here. I thought, it's a Stargate showing the door. And then now they're ripping on Prison Break. I guess it's office stuff. I guess Prison Break isn't as good as it was cracked up to be the second season. I mean, you should put them back in prison, huh?
I don't know. I watched a couple of those, and then I quit watching it, so.
Yeah, and I saw something else, and I lost it here now. Whatever. Oh, well, so we had the big Star Trek convention here over the weekend. I kind of did a passing walk-by with Kate Mulgrew, she was there. She was from Star Trek Voyager.
I know who she is. She actually was at my college before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't get to go see her, so I was sick that day at the for the Performing Arts Building. She did some kind of, I don't know if it was a workshop or she just came to talk to him, but that was a few years ago, though.
Very good. And what else is going on? And with the, now next week we have, what are the episodes next week?
The one of Stargate 1, or SG-1 is Counter-Strike, and Common Ground is Atlantis. Also I noticed SG-1 is one of the guest actors is Marina Baccarin. I don't know if that's how you say it, but she's one of, is in Firefly.
Oh, so really?
Kind of interesting, yeah.
Wow, that should be nice, huh? And what's the Atlantis one going to be?
Common Ground. It's,
Who's going to be
it? I don't know who Robert Davi is. I don't know.
Oh, Robert Davi. He's the guy who looks like Almost. He's kind of got the, you know, the... You know, the face.
Oh,
kinda,
okay,
you know,
yeah. I know who he is now. Oh, that's right. I do remember the preview now about them. And I don't, it sounds like from the preview that Shepard's going to either get help from him or the Wraith. I think the Wraith, but that was kind of kind of strange. It says that he's essentially in a cell adjacent to a Wraith trapped by a famous Jedi commander.
So that might be interesting. Yeah, it sounds like in the preview they showed, everybody kind of bows their heads. Like, did he get killed or what? They all, like, lower their heads when I show
Yeah, it looked like he took some of his life away. I hope not.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
Well, I mean, you think not, because with them renewing the series for a fourth year, I mean, I can't imagine getting rid of him. I mean.
Yeah, well, even if they took just a little bit away, though, I can't imagine them taking a main character and, like, aging them, you know.
No. Oh, yeah, I don't know if they do that.
I can't see. I mean, I guess it's possible, but I really can't see that.
Yeah. But I like Robert Davi. He's an outstanding actor. Like I said, you know, the rumors a couple years ago, oh, they're going to replace Almost and all that. I said, I'd like to see Robert Davi take over as Adama, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but I guess, you know, obviously they haven't done that. But you know, he's also in that, what's that show? Profiler. That's Koenig Rules. But they
Yeah. I like that show. I remember Profiler.
Yeah, that was with that one chick, and they got River, and brought in the other one. Jamie Lunar, who was in Savannah, and some other shows as well. They brought her in. So, yeah. I wonder what she's doing now. She'd be outstanding for on Galactica or on one of the Stargates, you know, Jamie Lunar. And she was also in that spinoff of Growing Pains. It was, I think, the story of the guy with the 8 kids or the 12 kids, whatever the hell it was, you know. See, I know all this useless information. It was the father was the coach of Mike Seaver, who was Kirk Cameron, his character, and he had this huge family, and Jamie Lunar is one of the daughters on that series.
I have no idea.
Hey, a lot of sitcom history, I know. So, and now, any other thoughts about the SG-1 getting canceled? A lot of people saying it's bad timing.
Yeah, especially because the episode rating came out. I think they took so much time and energy, it seems like, promoting and doing this 200th episode. You think they would have at least waited to see the ratings.
Sure.
Unless, you know, maybe the actors don't want to do it or there's another reason, but I still think it was kind of premature announcing it. But
yeah, I don't know. Why don't they, to worry about the expenses, why don't they, you know, do some of the cast? I mean, you know, move some of the cast around, you know?
Yeah.
Because they brought in Vala, I mean, and Mitchell. Well, you know, maybe Sam and Teal'c need to take a little break from the series and bring on a couple other people, you know?
Yeah, that would always work, as long as they still have them at some point, I think.
Yeah.
If they switch them all, it isn't good. End up like Sliders. You don't want that.
No. But, I mean, if that's the... Because I remember them saying that... what was it? Something... Oh, yeah, and that Stargate, the science or something. They're talking about the expense of the series, that it might get to the point where it's too expensive to keep going, you know? Well, so why don't they just start replacing people? You know, maybe once, you know, 1 year to get replace somebody, and next year replace somebody else, and you keep going, you know?
Even if they... I mean, I don't know. I'd enjoy it even if they made it, like, all into one show. But I think the people like Atlantis probably wouldn't be happy. But.
Yeah. Or it may just cut back on the episodes. Maybe, I don't know, 10 episodes a year.
Yeah, do like a half a season.
Yeah. So that might be probably a good way to go or something. I don't know. But hopefully they'll keep it around. I mean, it's a legendary series, so.
Yeah.
So, well, Jamie, we'll let you go.
Okay.
All right. We thank you very much for being on with our Stargate review. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me. Okay.
You're
talk
welcome.
To you then.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Jamie, otherwise known as Scully Girl, with our Stargate reunion episode, our Stargate review. And about 10 years, I don't know if it's enough or not, because I'm just starting to get into the series. So, I don't know. That'd be a shame. I still think maybe it's because of the DVDs. They're releasing them too soon. You know, same thing with Battlestar. Well, I noticed with Stargate, they're urging people to watch the show live, because we have some kind of code you get live. You only have a certain amount of time to enter in this code. On their website, you win some kind of prize or a walk-on role or whatever. You win $1 million or whatever it is. And I said, well, I'm probably going to do that with Battlestar, because now they're worried about Battlestar losing, you know, having a drop-off of viewers, because they've been gone for a lot longer than Stargate. You know, so I imagine they'll probably do the same thing with Battlestar. You got to watch live, and you enter in the code, you win a new house or something like that, you know, or a walk-on role or whatever. So I imagine that's what they'll do with that.
They do any MacGyver spoofs?
MacGyver spoofs? I don't remember. I mean, a chat room. You know, if they did a MacGyver spoof, that's a good idea. I don't remember.
You mean Richard Dean Anderson didn't do like pull out a paperclip out of somewhere on the
he did that in the, he did that in the commercial for MasterCard or whatever it was. Anybody know what he did? If they did do a MacGyver spoof, so I don't know. What site, Sean? So we'll see. Uh-oh, there's the MacGyver theme. Uh-oh. And it's too bad. But I imagine, with Stargate losing viewers, I imagine Sci-Fi's been worried about Battlestar losing viewers. So I mentioned maybe that they'll move it to a different night, maybe on a Tuesday. You know, it might be a good thing. Put it on after ECW or something like that. So we'll see what happens. And what else is going on in the world of pop culture? Sam Champion is the new Good Morning America weather anchor. Sam Champion, longtime weatherman for New York's ABC affiliate, has been named the weather anchor of Good Morning America. And what else? Harold and Kumar star is going to be on the 24. That guy was on Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, and he's going to be on 24. What's his name here? Stanley and Kumar. At Cal Penn, who played a stoned pre-med student in the search of the perfect post-smoke munchies at Harold and Kumar Going to White Castle, has joined a cast of 24. He'll play a man associated with the leader of an Islamic group that may or may not be planning a terrorist attack. It sounds like the fear-mongering that the Bush administration does, but I and what else? Stargate showing the door. Oh, they're all over the Stargate thing. Sportscaster Bob Costas to headline a new radio show, so he's coming back to radio. And what else we have here? I'm just going through real quick. Chris Cuomo joins Good Morning America team. Of course, he's part of the Cuomo family of New York, and he's going to be the new newsreader in Good Morning America, and joining what's her name, Diane Sawyer and Robert Roberts. And James Gandolfini has iced a new HBO deal. So apparently he's going to have a developmental deal for 3 years with HBO. And what else? Lights Out for Stargate SG-1. That's all they're talking about. Lights Out, Lights Out, Lights Out. And I think Koenig Rules is on the line. We'll bring him on with our 4400 review. And... Mr. Koenig Rules, are you there, sir? Dr. Koenig Rules.
Hello?
Dr. Koenig Rules, are you there, sir?
I am here.
Paging Dr. Koenig Rules. Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine. Dr. Fine. You watch that on the Three Stooges? They did the whole Doctor episode?
Yes, I remember that fondly.
Yes, yes. I was taking the task. We're not giving you your proper due as you are a professor. So
that's
right. I have to give you your proper due.
That's so. Right. I am a professor.
A mad professor of
the
subject
mad
to discussion.
Professor. Is that the new slogan you're giving me now?
You're the mad professor of subject to discussion. No, really.
Quiet, numbskulls,
I'm broadcasting. Oh, there he is. I think that's what the Bush does in the White House every time the reports come in from Iraq. But anyway, really, though, because you're a professor and everything else. I mean,
and everything else. But, I mean, John, you really got to have more chicks on, you know? Yeah. Well, got to have more chicks.
More chicks? I'm trying. I had the chick on last week for the liberal girl next door, and then Jamie. I've bounced out. Once in a while, we get Katie Sack off, you know?
Right,
That's plenty of estrogen for the program, I think, right?
I definitely agree.
So it's a full chat room. Look at the chat room; it's absolutely full.
Well, I guess they're wondering about this news about Battlestar.
Oh,
I don't know.
Do you want to get to that first? You want to dangle it until
the
end?
Yeah, why not? Why
okay,
not?
What's the big?
I had found out from a colleague of mine that likes Battlestar. And this happened way before the Stargate news. You recall, I contacted you in the
yes.
weekend. He was in touch with the Sci-Fi Channel representative. And the Sci-Fi Channel representative basically said, the effects this year on Battlestar Galactica are out of this world. They're the best yet. But, and here it comes, but if the show doesn't pick up this year in ratings, season 3 will be its last year.
You're out of your mind. Are you kidding?
No,
I'm
not out of my mind.
Wow.
In fact, he went on even further, but I don't want to relay that because I could imagine what the sci-fi boards are going to be doing. But I'd gotten this information Thursday or Friday, and I was figuring, this is all bullshit.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, I can't believe anyone at sci-fi is going to be canceling Battlestar.
Yeah, especially with Caprica on its way.
Well, that's not necessarily for sure either,
because
if they do, because they haven't even gotten the first script done.
Really?
So if Galactica is going to get canceled, that throws into jeopardy.
Oh, you there? Yes.
All right, that throws into jeopardy the prequel.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, yeah. Now, this was only one sci-fi channel representative that was saying this. I couldn't verify this with others, but then, lo and behold, the news comes yesterday that SG-1 is canceled, and mainly because of, I think, more than anything else, the drop in ratings for it. And then I figured, you know, what I got sounds all the more credible now based on what just happened with Stargate.
Huh. Well,
I'm really willing to bet that what they're trying to do this year is move it away from the Stargate to see if it can stand on its own, put in Doctor Who, an entirely new program with it. But if it's going to get, I feel, probabilistically speaking, maybe about 70-75% certain that if it gets ratings 1.5 and 1.4, okay, this will be its last season.
Wow.
I really do. I mean, you know?
Well, I mean, like Invincor is in the chat room. He's saying this is contrary to what I have heard. And he said, which is that the cast has been told that the fourth season is almost a certainty.
Well I had not contacted the ratings fall. Another person on that because Aaron Douglas in Now Playing Magazine was quoted as saying, the fourth season looks like an absolute certainty.
Oh.
Yeah. Then my contact on the Battlestar Galactica production set told me a little bit ago, I'm not going to tell you when because they'll be pissed off at me in the chat room, but told me a little bit ago, oh, you got to do some type of retraction to that, you know, KR. And I said, what do you mean, a retraction to that? Don't make it sound like this is for certain.
Huh.
Or this is for sure that it's a done deal.
Huh.
I said, how am I going to do a retraction? After all, I didn't do the interview with Aaron Douglas.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything with Now Playing Magazine. But there's a little bit of caution being exercised. Let's not say season four is a guarantee yet. Mm-hmm. And I would just say, be cautious. Well, anything can go this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, they're trying everything to get people to watch the show live. I mean, they did the same thing with Stargate. Stay tuned for Stargate. You get the special code, and you go on there, and you do it whatever you do on the sci-fi.com website or wherever the hell it is. And then imagine they'll do the same thing with Battlestar because people got to stop recording, unless you have to. You know, like I work sometimes late on Friday, so I have to tape it and watch it live. And don't TiVo it. Watch the damn show live. And the same thing, well, a lot of it's their own fault because they as soon as the season's over, in 3 weeks you can get season 2.5, on DVD.
Right.
Why sit through it for 10 weeks if you just go out in 6 months to get the whole season, first half of the season on DVD? They should wait like 2 years and make people sit and watch that show live,
Right. And see, the other problem with Battlestar is that so much builds from previous seasons, and when they've tried to do standalone episodes like this last year, some of the standalones were not very good. So I mean, in terms of drawing in new fans for this year, I don't know how much of that is going to happen, but I would hope that it at least would stay around a 1.8, 1.9, 2.0.
Well, I hope so. But why don't they just move the show off of Friday night? Because Friday night's the big date night and everything. Why don't they just move it to Tuesday?
I'm just a professor. Yeah. I'm not a director of programming,
Well, it seems like Friday nights turn into a dead end zone for these series. I mean,
hey, I got the perfect series,
what?
Sean. Dead end zone.
Dead end zone. Well, so even Dent Ranger is saying Friday night is a hard night in general to get younger audience to watch it live. Absolutely.
Yep.
Then move the damn thing to Sundays or something. Sunday night's the largest viewing audience on television.
Yeah, but then you'd have it conflicting with the 4,400.
Well, you said they renewed it for the fourth season.
Yes, isn't that good?
Yeah.
You know, at least it isn't all bad. The 4,400's going into a fourth season. So now when they show the cliffhanger this Sunday, it's sort of like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, another season.
Yeah, I mean, why don't they move the 4,400 over to Sci-Fi?
Well, actually, I wish Battlestar Galactica was on USA.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Because 4,400 has at least 3 million people watching it. Mm. They'd have more people watching Battlestar if they put it with the 4,400.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get crucified on the boards by giving all this bad news, but because it's still rumored, but I could imagine a scenario playing out like this. We've got the Stargates. They're not doing very well. Mm-hmm. Atlantis, yeah, we'll give it another crack. Battlestar, we'll see. You know, I'm sure they're being cautious about Battlestar right now.
Well, NetRanger is saying they interviewed for Media Boulevard magazine some of the cast of the 4,400. Now, that episode was outstanding on Sunday. You know,
yeah. Isn't that something that I pointed that show out to you, Sean?
Absolutely.
And Doctor Who, too? Geez, can I be your associate on this show now? You know, Sean and KR.
There you go.
How about KR and Sean?
Oh, KR and company, huh?
Do I have to interview wrestlers like you did?
No, we
talked about that, right? Didn't you? You know, you hosted.
Hosted, right? Yes, on a TV station out here without off the cable. I had to put on your rabbit ears to get the station. It was a UHF station, which was nasty.
Right.
Anyway, because the 4,400 I thought was outstanding. It was a terrible Swift Sword because we're building up to the cliffhanger, which is next Sunday.
Yep. The all-out war between the mutants, I was going to say. The 4,400 with Jordan Collier against Dennis Ryland and his group, yep.
Which is, what's his name, the actor, what's his name?
Peter Coyote.
Outstanding
Ow.
Actor. And what's his name, Campbell did an outstanding job as Jordan Collier. I mean, it's
Campbell. Now, that's not Paul Campbell, that's Billy Campbell.
And they opened the episode with him talking on television, explaining to the world why he's seen what he's seen of the future and the human race is dying. Basically, there's building up to this cliffhanger for next week.
Yeah, the only person that really I've had some reservations about this year on the 4,400 is Diana. She was such a nice, sweet girl when we first saw her, and I've gone through all the emotions with her, and now she takes away her girlfriend's
her sister's
fiance.
Yeah, well, her daughter planned it in her head that she's supposed to marry this guy.
Right. Well, she's psychic. She can read the future.
Oh, okay. And then they held the, what do you call it, the Nova Group escapes from NTAC, right? So they all escape. And
with all that, and then they got the promycine, that green substance.
Yeah, now they used a kid that can change his appearance to trick them to thinking he's Peter Coyote's character, right?
Right, and he appeared on a previous episode when he appeared as the agent Tom.
Hmm.
Do you remember that, or maybe you didn't see that episode?
No,
don't you remember that episode? No.
I got enough to juggle, and then they take all that drug out, and Jordan Collier said they're going to give it to everybody.
Yeah, they're going to give it to the humans.
Really? Now what's
that? So then the humans are going to be like the 4,400.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
You know?
I don't know. And
I don't know either, but it's just so good to know that there's going to be a major cliffhanger this Sunday, and
well, they're going to air all the episodes back to back.
Well, they are. They're doing a marathon. It's not all of them. It's going to be nine of them.
Nine
of the 13.
Yeah, and Giorgio's saying maybe USA could pick up Battlestar Galactica if Sci-Fi drops it.
Oh, geez, look at what I started here.
Well, that's still NBC Universal. I don't know.
And remember, let's all say the same mantra. Mm-hmm. You heard it here on Sean's show.
Please, I'm getting in trouble.
You think the Moors will ever come by?
No, I think this pretty much drove the final nail into the coffin. Well, no, it should encourage people, even if, you know, they should encourage people to watch the show live. I mean, that's the only thing.
Yeah, so I guess one of the things that I wanted to do tonight was, I'm glad you brought this up, that I wanted to make people aware that there might be something going on at the Sci-Fi Channel offices. Mm-hmm. Number two, and... I don't know what can be done here, but those people that run the boards, of which I'm one of the mods on and stuff like that, they should do any board, Battlestar Galactica board, pro new series board, should try their best to encourage people posting threads, encourage people to start watching Battlestar. And as you said, that's really good, Sean.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah, they
should. Not watch it later on in the evening, not tape it, not watch it on iPod. Watch it live, because I think part of the problem this past year is when it went to iPod, people felt, oh, I can wait the next day, you know, to watch it. And I'm not sure those things are factored into the ratings on the Sci-Fi Channel. I know they are.
Well, it's true. I mean, you got to watch the show live, and like Sci-Fi, they put some money into advertising the series. I mean, they did the whole thing with the Emmy campaign, which is turned to a waste. And then I really wish they'd do more, you know, to step up the PR from the series. You know, I mean, they got
to... Hey, by the way, to sort of promote the PR of your show, there is a new person that I brought over tonight, Kat.
Kat? Oh, I see Kat.
Yes, Kat, yes. And if all these sci-fi shows get canceled, if you ever want to go into horror films, she really knows.
Horror?
Horror, sci-fi films. I've just been impressed with her knowledge of that.
It might be something to explore.
And you're looking for females, right?
Yes. Literally, and for guests on the series and the program.
you're looking for chicks, right?
Yeah. That Ranger saying, how would they know if you're watching live or on TiVo? Well, they do get a little like the most TiVo. I know USA Today. They are
right.
They have the ratings.
Yeah.
And they say with TiVo, but they really don't look at that. They look at who's watching it, because that's where the advertising comes from.
That's right.
Because the TiVo, you could skip over the commercials. And then the live, it's those Nielsen families. That's why I said Nielsen is full of it. Because I remember once when I was Nielsen family, they used to give you the diaries. You just fill it out. Oh, I watched this. And then you just mail the thing in. And you get your dollar back from them. You know, I think there's more.
You just filled out a diary? You didn't have like a machine or something
this was,
like that?
No, this was years ago. They had a little diary you filled out.
How old are you?
And,
do you remember S&H green stamps and books?
Absolutely. There used to be an S&H.
You do remember that.
There used to be an S&H store in Chicago off of Western Avenue, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's right. You lived in Chicago.
Yes. I'm a Chicagoan.
That's right. You're related to Mayor Daley, right?
Yeah, right. If I was, I wouldn't be sitting here. But it's a digital. Darth Chaney is saying that digital cable can report viewing.
What is that?
Darth Chaney said a digital cable can report viewing.
So really?
How many people are watching it? So it's right. I mean, they should, because that's where the advertising money comes from for Battlestar. You got to watch the show live. You know?
But, you know, maybe this year, if that is so with season three, maybe I hate to say this, but maybe they'll have less soap operatic elements in it, because some of the people, like Darth Chaney or whatever, have remarked that at times it gets really soap opera-ish, and let's have more sci-fi elements. And the good news is, sounds to me like they're really going into more special effects this year.
Yeah.
And that, I think, would at least draw younger people.
Yeah.
Because I think right now with the show, it's cast more in an adult theme, so that even adolescent boys who may like the female Cylons, well, they're going to be nude in the base star, right?
Ooh.
Remember, I told
that's
you
right.
That.
Oh,
so I mean, that might attract some of the adolescent males, but I think they also need to do a little bit more with the special effects.
Absolutely. Actually, let's see. So NetRanger is saying, so it's only the Nielsen families that need to watch it live. I know, it's the Nielsen families, also the ones that have digital cable need to watch it live as well. Mm. Yeah, I say what the hell of it. Everybody should, if you can, watch it live or watch the repeat of it on Friday nights, right?
Right.
As well. I mean, you get the ratings on the first airing, or help them out with the late night airings. Get the ratings
right
up for Galactica, because you documented when the episodes were fresh when you're on here that the ratings were slipping. You know,
that's right.
I don't think they had a single episode that got over a 1.9 last season. Is that right?
For Doctor Who?
No, for Battlestar.
Oh yeah. I think I'm trying to think. What was one of them? 2.0?
Maybe the Pegasus or the premiere.
Yeah,
or something
maybe.
Like that.
But it hovered around a 1.8.
Yeah.
1.9.
And
in some cases, I think even like a 1.7 maybe.
Yeah. And in the first season, they got several 1.9s, right, and a couple 2.0s, right?
In the first season, yeah. I thought they even got some 2.2s and a couple 2.4s.
Yeah, as I said, it's important. Everybody's got to watch. And Darth Cheney said, end every show with an explosion.
Oh, that sounds like Space 1999.
Every show
was an explosion.
And every
in more ways than one.
I think,
you know, that's how I got my handle, you know,
yeah,
Koenig Rose,
Space
right?
Space 1999. I think.
Right. But you don't remember that show, right?
No. I remember that
one.
I remember WGN used to run the air reruns, but
yeah, they did.
And
all the time, 5 o'clock in the morning. There I'd be, and I don't know how old I was. 5 o'clock in the morning, watching, and this is showing my age, watching the end of a John Wayne film, mm-hmm. and then watching a Space 1999 rerun.
Wow.
5 a.m. in the morning. I'd be nuts. I'd be waking up middle of the night to be watching television shows.
Yeah.
When I could have been doing other things.
Yeah.
Like sleeping.
It's true. I mean, NetRanger's saying we need to figure all this stuff out with what really counts in the ratings and get that information out, too. Well, I'm pretty sure. I mean, if you got, well, I don't know. I know the ratings pretty much are Nielsen ratings, so that's the ones that are the Nielsen homes, unless they have some technology where they know what everybody's watching. I don't think that's possible yet. You know?
Right. Now, there is a plus side to SG-1 being canceled on Sci-Fi. There is a plus side.
Mm.
And the plus side is, because I've already seen it on the Sci-Fi board,
mm-hmm.
does this mean BSG is going to get canceled?
Mm-hmm.
It might put the fear of God or whatever, or Cylons, in some fans to really start watching it more.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be the case that they don't want the same thing to happen to Battlestar. So maybe the timing of SG-1 being canceled couldn't be better, because it might help Battlestar. Though they do say that the audiences for Stargate and Battlestar are different demographics for both of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I try to be interesting, you know?
Yeah. Now, Invincible is saying that the Doctor Who season premiere ends with an explosion.
Oh,
it might be on
to
something.
I haven't gotten to the end episode yet.
He might be on to something. Maybe the Galactica, maybe they could blow up a different ship in the fleet.
I know.
Every
they can find Earth. And it's Earth 2007.
and they see President Bush, and they turn around and go back.
And then they blow up the Battlestar.
I don't know.
Instead of to be concluded, it'll flash the end.
The end? I don't know.
Yeah. And then what are you going to do? If there's no Battlestar, you don't have any program, Sean. You're going to have to bring on Kat and talk about horror films.
Horror films, and it always... Well,
please, I can tell you this right now. Pulse sucks. I saw it today. It sucks.
Really? That'll have to turn into turn into a soap opera 30-minute review of the soap operas.
Or you could do a soap opera, right?
Yeah.
You know, Sean O'Mac and his chicks, you know.
This program has been a soap opera since the day it started. But
how long is this show been going on, by the way, since Battlestar's been on?
Since, are you kidding
no.
me? I started long before Battlestar was
so
on.
So how long has...
long years.
two, I mean, really? Two years?
It's going to be 2 years sometime in September.
So basically, you started with the Battlestar when? The first year, right?
I started, I think, before... well, wait a minute now.
Maybe it's 3 years, Sean, because you've been doing Battlestar. At least I've been doing this over a year.
Well, yeah, I started talking about Battlestar since January of 05, and I started this program in September of 04. It was only supposed to be a six-week program. It's supposed to be lead up to the presidential election, and it's been...
Who'd you con?
Con's right here. I con him.
Con!
No. It was
Did you see
to
the William Shatner roast, by the way?
Oh, no. When's that?
Well, it was on Comedy Central on Sunday. It was also on Monday night, and it will be on Friday night on Comedy Central, a repeat of it. But they had people like Farrah Fawcett and Leonard Nimoy. I fell asleep during it.
I didn't see that. You know, they're all here for the Star Trek convention.
Right, but maybe you can get William Shatner on.
Oh, please.
Maybe they can get William Shatner on Battlestar.
Yep.
If they fit him through the hull.
It might be the way. If they have to kill off almost on Shatner or bring on Nimoy as a new commander of the Galactica. It might be a way of getting some ratings in there. But I mean, I did cross paths with Kate Mulgrew, so that was my brush with Star Trek fame over
really?
The weekend. Yes. Yes, I
well, we had invited to our campus Walter Koenig. I never told you that, did
no,
I?
No, Walter
Koenig. We brought Walter Koenig to our campus. I had written a text on sci-fi and fantasy films, the Star Trek movies, and then I talked about each Star Trek film, showed a movie clip, told him my interpretation, and then Walter Koenig gave his interpretation of each film. And it and we went up from Star Trek, the first one, all the way to Star Trek VI.
Wow. Actually, a question for you from Crimson Crystal from the chat room. What other sci-fi shows match the BSG demographic? Probably Atlantis. And
I would think, I don't know for sure, but I would think that a really close show that's like BSG, and you might disagree with me, Sean, but I think would be the 4400.
Oh, I just said that. I just said that before while you were talking. I said,
thank you.
Yeah, the 4400, I think, because the shows are somewhat similar.
They are.
With the overarching.
The complexities, the characters, the non-effects, special effects at times. I mean, yeah, and it's really hard. You got into it, though, but it's really hard to get into a show in its third season.
Yeah, and Dark Chain is asking about Heroes. What do you think about Heroes?
Well, I saw, out of the corner of my eye today in the movie theater, I saw an ad for Heroes in the movie theater, the NBC show premiering on Monday nights, right?
Yes.
It's on NBC, so my guess is one season. I mean, sci-fi shows don't fare well on the major networks. They just don't.
That's what I said last year. All these other shows went
down
the drain.
Yes, I remember. I said,
I was right on that one. Surface,
are
Invasion.
All going to be around a while, and here with Sean.
They're all gone.
No.
The last one standing is, what do you call it?
Invasion Season 1 is out on DVD.
DVD.
And Surface just came out on DVD, and Threshold came out today also on DVD.
And
so you can get all three, you can get all three.
Well, where are they now? They're all canceled.
Yeah, but you can say to people, I own the complete series.
You can get Firefly for $20.
hey, Firefly.
That's a show.
Good.
They should
dust off. By the way, Kat also knows a lot about Firefly.
So
if you ever want to bring her, bring her on.
Yeah.
Instead of me.
We're talking about. You said
they want to get rid of me.
we'll let you go. Wow.
Okay,
we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, unless I get mugged by all these BSG fans.
We'll see if you're still alive.
Okay.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Koenig Rules. I want to thank Koenig and Dr. Koenig Rules, as well as Jamie. And also thank you to Robert Rouse of the Leftist Centrist blog. Next week, Michael J.W. Stickens will be back from the Reaction blog. And S2DRadio.com. Tomorrow is Daily Noise. Friday is Spankwagon, followed by King Hesh. I'm Sean Max, Sean Daly. Good night, and have a pleasant tomorrow.